The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bod. Linda's on assignment this morning. She's out working this morning, or will be in probably about an hour. 605-4567 is our phone number, and good morning, and welcome to our KCNR1460.com chat room. Hop into that. 7:05 in the morning here, December the 18th. A lot of stuff happening today. We've got a Bill Whalen from the Hoover Institute. Bill was talking about what was going to happen in his in what he thought was going to happen in the election earlier this month, and he was spot on. So we want to talk to him about what he thinks is going to be the future here of our country. He'll be coming on at 7:30. 8 o'clock, we have Mark Baird from State of Jefferson telling us where he thinks that's going. What makes up the State of Jefferson? Is this just a California movement, or is this a national group that says that they've had enough and they want to have their own representation? But let's start off with Bad Bob.
And partly sunny skies today. The high will be near 64 degrees with light and variable wind. Showers possibly tonight and early tomorrow, and then showers likely for your Wednesday. The high near 59. Currently in Reading, we've got about, somewhere between 35 and 40 degrees. Depending on where you look, we're going to call it 35 right now. And this report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Our customers are warm friends, locally owned, family operated, senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793. So how you doing today, Bad Bob? I know you came running in a little bit late with your Hawaiian shirt on, and it's 38 degrees out there.
Yeah, I've got some things going on today.
35 degrees.
Yep, but it's kind of brisk.
I'm going to throw the early pitch in for Alliance Heating and Air. My gosh, if you've got a problem with your heater, you need to call Alliance Heating and Air and Martin and his people. I mean, if you haven't had that heater checked before now, you need to give them a check. I'm gonna probably talk about it some more today, but give them a call at 221-2642.
In fact. We fired up our system. We had it inspected a few months ago, and we changed out the filters over the weekend and fired it up for the first time since, like, April or so. Came right on, brought the house up to a nice temperature, and enjoyed my shower without shivering.
That's a system that he's been working on too for you, I think.
Martin designed a system around what we had, incorporated our existing swamp cooler, so we're saving a ton of money in the summer, and it's a great little heat pump and does exactly what we want it to do. We have the smart thermostat that we can check our temperature at home from the smartphone.
You can.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. Hey, I'm already getting comments. Can we bring back the practice of tarring and feathering? Let me guess what that's about. Okay. All right. As you know, as we were breaking on the news yesterday that it wasn't in Record Searchlight, it's front page today in Record Searchlight, of course. Letter angers rivals of sales. Voters kept in the dark by city revolt says. All right. Yesterday, I interviewed Mayor Rick Bassetti. City Attorney Rick DuVernay, talked to Patrick Jones earlier, talked to Councilwoman Missy MacArthur about this. And and as you can probably imagine, I'm getting a number of different opinions here. The bottom line, though, and this is from Mayor Bassetti, is he said, I knew about this. It was as part of the negotiating team of himself, Rick DuVernay, and the city manager, that Kurt Starman. I talked to Kurt too, and Kurt, called back also. But it was, I'm working here with the DuVernay, Bassetti, Jones, MacArthur today, and we have other people we're going to have on this week because it's not over yet. In fact, Mayor Bassetti is going to be on Thursday morning, and possibly the city attorney, Rick DuVernay. I'd like to have them both on to talk about this, because this is what he considered this, the city attorney, Rick DuVernay, considered this a trivial matter. This is not something that has not come up before. He looked at it as if you look at the first line, he says, look at the first line of what they wrote, what the EDA wrote. And it says, the EDA has reviewed the City of Reading's proposal to sell the Turtle Bay Museum to a local philanthropic organization. Well, that's not what's happening, as he says. He says, this is not a museum we're selling. We're selling them a piece of bare land that's going to be used for the museum and for the museum. He says, we have dealt with this before. That these kind of things before, and one of two things are going to happen. One, the sale doesn't go off until after the June 25th date, which and then just kind of like negates everything. Or two, McConnell makes the city whole. Now, the question though that came up was, should the city council and the people know about this? Since the offer was made on March 4th, you know, to sell the city. I shouldn't say the offer, but the decision was made on March 4th to sell the city. Or sell, you know, sell the city, to sell the land. I did not mean city. I meant the land. I've got to put my glasses on here when I'm reading what I've been writing here. But to sell the land, and this response from the EDA and the it didn't come back till like the the end of April, because it's dated April 24, so it had to be the end of April. And talked about how they wanted to claw back the 74% of it. The so DuVernay knew about it, Bassetti knew about it. I asked Missy MacArthur, Councilwoman MacArthur, if she knew about it. And Missy says, you know what? She said that I can't tell you when exactly I heard about it. But yes, it was mentioned in passing. I did not get a piece of paper on it. So, but she said that she had heard it in passing. She couldn't say what day it's coming. She said it was one of those things that somebody mentioned it to her, and couldn't remember the exact date. Jones and Cad both say they never heard of it, and they never got the word until they got this piece of paper. So the question is, City Attorney DuVernay says Jones is exploiting this. And probably for political reasons. Jones and Cad said they didn't know anything about it. The question is, was this decision to claw back the funds something that should have been shared with the council and voters? Should that have been shared? Since they've worked with this before, they considered it a trivial matter. They considered this something, you know, McConnell knew about it, and McConnell knew that they may have to pay something like this. But is this something that should have been shared with the voters? Obviously, yes, according to Tom Corrado. And we're going to try and get Tom on too. What is the, why wouldn't they tell the voters is what he's saying. Tom is saying that this is egregious. And by the way, I'm getting, things besides talking to the players in this. I'm also looking at the article in the Record Searchlight, and where Jenny Espino, it's a good article. Mm-hmm. She's gone back and researched. She's talked to the EDA. She's talked to a lot of the players in this. It's a good article. And if you want to kind of, it's concise. And from everything I've read and researched on this, and I have, she's pretty close on this. There's, including going back and talking about if the EDA is going to, waive something like this, and if it's something that's a matter of consternation for the community.
Well, you have two schools of thought here. One school of thought says we elect these people to make these decisions. The other school of thought says, oh, no, everything. Absolutely everything must be brought before the entire community, in which case, why bother electing people?
Well, but here's the other part is this. And this is, the fact that McConnell making the city whole, that's fine. Or them dragging, or them putting off escrow to the end of June, fine. So then see, it's Mox next. It has no impact on anything. The question was when they decided not to say anything to the city council, and in fact, DuVernay said the first time they've met the whole city council about this is now, since March 4th. to talk about the land sale. The question is should this have been given, as soon as they found out about it, should it have been turned over to the city council and said, look, this is something that's come up. They're saying they're going to claw back, but here's the answer. McConnell says that it's not a big thing, that they'll make the city whole. The only question about this is, though, is that if a new appraiser comes in, and if the EDA, and this is the Economic Development Agency, wanted to bring in a new appraiser and say, okay, this is how much they think the land is worth. Is that going to throw a skunk on the table, as we would say? All these questions. All right, hey, what do you think about this? 605-4567. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. A tempest in a teapot or a deliberate effort to keep the people from knowing?
It's hard to guess who's gonna make a telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Nate Aberea here with Dr. Carino from Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, what do you say to the theory that chiropractors just crack your bones and that chiropractic adjustments are merely a quick fix?
I'd say that's completely false. The primary goal of an adjustment is to relieve pain and restore function in your body. Adjustments improve areas of reduced movement in the joints and surrounding tissues. The cracking sound you sometimes hear is actually caused by the slight opening of the joint space and the release of gas within that space.
Doc, what about the fear that many people have that chiropractic care is just too expensive?
Studies have shown that chiropractic care is actually more cost-effective than traditional medicine. When compared to most visits to the doctor's office, chiropractic care is not only less expensive, but it can offer a natural and healthy alternative.
How can folks reach you, Dr. Carino?
Give Shasta Spine Specialists a call at 243-2300. That's 243-2300. Or check us out online at ShastaDRX.com.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
By me.
And me.
And us.
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent Luigi here, celebrating Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary with a radio spot made by 55
friends, family,
and kids
from all the way back in 1959 when Mary started the first shack in Sonoma Valley.
Today, there are 19 shacks from Walnut Creek,
where kids make their own pizzas,
to Santa Rosa,
with the meatballs as big as your head.
And every one of them makes Mary's legendary homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with our secret family recipes.
Just like Mary did back in 1959.
I've been coming to the shack since before you were born.
Whoa, how old are you?
That's not an appropriate question.
Thanks to everyone for 55 great years.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange sells a wide variety of freeze-dried emergency foods. But in times of crisis, all you need to do is add hot water. To help you heat that water, the Patriot now carries the Sun Rocket Solar Water Heater and Thermos. This amazing compact device can heat to a boil 2 cups of water in just over an hour using just ordinary sunlight. Use it in meal preparation, melt snow for drinking, and eliminate Giardia and other waterborne bacteria through heat pasteurization. It's ideal for camping, picnics, and sporting events, and essential in any home or auto emergency kit. Remember, peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way, next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And in Palisadro, we're in the Holiday Marketplace. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm here with Ted Leidy from Northern Firearms Instruction.
Join us on November 22nd and 23rd for a private CCW class to raise money for the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
This class is private and limited seats are available. It's also tax deductible, and firearms and ammunition can be provided at no charge to complete the course.
Join us for this great two-day class by calling 530-999-1822 or visit Northern Firearms at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Love is a burning thing. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
I cracked me up.
605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, Joe and Sunny and Red. Gosh, among others. Of course, we've got the lines filled up here. Now, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Discounts for veterans, Espresso Joe's, which has absolutely fabulous coffee of all kinds that will not break the bank buying coffee from, and of different makes, you know, of all the different cinnamon and, you know, it's got all these different pumpkin flavored things here for the holidays. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Then next door, of course, is an outstanding walk-in humidor and every type of e-cig and flavor you can imagine. And like I said, veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. They do a lot. They do a whole lot for our community. Joel and Shelley do. All right, 35 degrees out there today. It looks like it's going to be a nice day. Probably the rain moving in tomorrow, but 35 degrees. All right, let's go to the phones. Charles, good morning. You're first.
Yes. We elect representatives, but if the representatives are kept in the dark, then the whole system of representative government potentially breaks down.
So do you think you should have told them? Do you think that it should have become common knowledge is that the EDA requested a clawback on the money that that it was paid?
Well, the council member should have been, all the council members should have been notified about this, you know, at least as far back as the early May
time frame. Okay. Now this was,
and then additionally, because the election of three incoming, that doesn't bring warm fuzzy feelings, does it?
Incoming.
What a word. Yeah. Incoming. The incoming.
You know, sometimes Charles, you break me up. You know.
Yeah. The election in, you know, one of the deciding issues was in fact the candidate's support or opposition to Measure B. So,
right.
With that in mind, you know,
could have made a difference, right?
Decided on an incomplete set of facts because information was not revealed until after the election, and you know,
I got it. No, I understand.
The whole thing just stinks to high heaven.
Okay, thanks a lot, Charles. We got to go to the next phone. Henry, good morning. Do you have a comment?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I don't think that the people realize what this could cost the taxpayers in Reading. If this was appraised at fair market value without a lease, this could cost, my estimate would be $5 to $6 million, and McConnell is not going to pick that up.
You don't think they're going to pick up the amount?
Not $5 or $6 million,
okay.
No.
You've been in real estate a long time, Henry, I believe.
Yeah,
or construction.
I have. I've sold probably bought and sold more property than most people in town ever thought of.
Okay, so Henry, with this, since if they let escrow delay until June 25th, this whole thing goes away, doesn't it? If they let it go, they said because it expires on June 25th this year.
Well, if they let it go till it expires and they don't close.
Yeah.
Then it's open for bid if anybody wants to bid on it.
Oh, is it?
Well,
I'm talking about the expiration of the EDA thing. See, the EDA thing was for like 20 years, and it expires June 25th, 2015. If they do their closing after that, then this whole thing goes away.
Well, not necessarily, because there is some collusion here, and if it could be proved collusion, they could come back and collect a new one.
Okay.
They could do it through the judicial system.
All right. So, okay. they're saying that the other thing too, it's up to the agency's discretion whether the grant can transfer to McConnell. I'm just talking about is that requires a rigorous evaluation of whether what is planned complies with the terms of the award. It must be put in writing to show in detail how it justifies a transfer, the EDA said Monday. So this is out of Espino's article there. So she's calling if that is true. So EPA could say no.
You don't realize that there's been an act committed here, whether it be ethical or criminal, but it's a collusion of sorts. That is now is not going to go away. If they want to push it, they can get it, but they may have to go to court to do it. Now, McConnell isn't going to do it, so the city or the taxpayers of the city of Reading are going to have to pick that up. Now, that means probably between $5 and $6 million on a fair market appraisal.
Well, that's if the EDA comes back and does that. They could just take the money that has been offered and then and take that part of it. That $600,000.
Have you ever seen a government agency turn down money like the IRS?
Well, and part of this is that they've had others that they've worked on also, much smaller amounts. But it's the government has waived it once they found out that it was being done by philanthropic organization and a nonprofit. See, that's what they're doing is transferring a nonprofit to another nonprofit.
Well, but it isn't used for the purpose it was originally intended.
Okay. They can, and there is consternation here.
What it is, we still have a situation where there was a meeting, I understand, of the staff that elected not to tell a city council. Now, that appears to me to be, I think there's a law against that someplace.
Well, I don't know if that was the point, if that was it, is that there was a decision because the mayor knew, and the mayor knew about it from the city council. And as far as everybody else.
And he didn't bring it up before the city council, so the rest of the people would know about it, and the taxpayers know about it.
I think that probably in this sense that if everything was on the up and up, which, I have no reason to believe that it wasn't because I can't prove that. It does seem like they should have let the rest of the city council know and to let the taxpayers know, the people vote
least. It should have been brought up prior to the election so the taxpayer would know what they're voting on.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Henry.
You bet. Bye.
Bye. And Henry has bought a lot. Henry has developed a lot of land around here.
Interesting, curiouser.
It is. You know what? And the thing about it is I talked to Rick Duvernay for like about 30 minutes yesterday, and I see where he's coming from. Duvernay is where he's coming from. He said, "Look, this is things we run into all the time, and it always ends up a certain way." Worst case if they didn't waive it was that, McConnell was just gonna, make that difference up and let them worry about it. And that's where he's coming from on this, that it was considered a trivial matter there. What is not the trivial matter, according, of course, to Mr. Jones, Patrick Jones, is that I wasn't told, the council wasn't told officially in session, even though Missy said she heard about it, but she's not sure when. And I don't mean that to sound bad on Missy, because, when you're, people may have, said this, she heard it, they were just, might have been discussing it in passing, because obviously Jones didn't hear it. Nor CAD heard it. So this is the kind of thing that, somebody's talking about it. Yeah, okay, I remember somebody mentioning that, but I can't tell you when. So that wasn't a hit at Missy. Though, this thing right here is, I guess the question with all the brouhaha about this, well, shouldn't this have been put out? Well, we're gonna have the mayor and, hopefully, the city attorney on Thursday morning. And to discuss this. Anyway, hey, we're gonna take a quick break here. It gets better and better sometimes. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Reading Crackmaster Windshield Repair. This is why you need to keep this number in Jeff Wirst's name, 241-8373. It is cold. It's 35. So say you get a little moisture on your window that goes into that little bitty crack you have or that chip. Guess what happens next? It freezes, it expands, and now you have a crack across your windshield. You need to get those chips fixed. You need to get the little cracks fixed, or they will become huge cracks, and then your deductible doesn't pay for it. You have to come out of your own pocket with it. Give Jeff a call at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street right here in Reading. Reading Crackmaster Windshield Repair, a veteran-owned business. We'll be right back.
Get 0% financing for up to 72 months right now on all new 2015 Kia Optimas and Kia Sorentos at Reading Kia and a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Plus, complimentary lifetime oil changes. See Reading Kia for details. On approval of credit, plus government fees, taxes, any dealer documentation processing charge, and any emission testing charge must finance through Kia Motors Finance, subject to prior sale. This offer ends December 3rd. Reading Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, Reading, ReadingKia.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed. And we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites. For those who don't want to worry about fuel on site, give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have 1 or 2 used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Reading. Family-owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's Tuesday, December the 18th. 35 degrees out there. It's going to be a nice day going up to maybe 60s. I think the 60s, and then we're going to start having the weather's going to start rolling in after that, and it'll build me a buttercup. You know, Bob just breaks himself up.
I was thinking that was so Obama.
You know what? It is. He just, build me a buttercup, and then you, and then,
just
and then, and then you let him, and then the election let him down. Hey, before we get into our next guest, Bill Whalen from the Hoover Institute, I want to remind everybody that the Clean Right, Build Right, and the Anderson Chamber of Commerce are collecting food today at the annual Stuff the Truck event in Anderson from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then this Wednesday, also from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the Safeway parking lot on Balls Ferry Road. Other drop-off locations, including the Cottonwood Eatery, also Williams Insurance and Omega Mortgage in Anderson, and Craig Spafford State Farm Insurance in the Anderson Fire Department. But here's the thing is, they want to be able to help over 200 families. And what they do is they put together the turkeys. Of course, they need turkeys, canned food, everything, stuffing, everything that you would want for a turkey dinner. And they will deliver them to these families. That comes from Brad Long and the Veterans Resource Center is finding the people for them to help. So here's a good chance to go down there and help the Stuff the Truck event in the Anderson Safeway. So hop on down there and get that done. All right. Our guest is Bill Whalen from the Hoover Institute out of Stanford. Good morning, Bill. Are y'all puffed up from the election? I mean, from calling it absolutely correct?
The first thing I'm having is a little bit of a flashback problem this morning. My college roommate had a girlfriend, a delightful woman, and her theme song for their relationship was Build Me a Buttercup. And she was a great girl. I loved having her around, but my God, every time she'd come and stay over, you'd hear that damn song, and boy, did I get sick of it during college. So, thank you for taking me down that road this morning.
Well, you know what? You're probably sitting there thinking to yourself all the things that had happened. He ends up on Skid Row. You know, he's calling you up asking for money. I mean, all these things would probably happen.
The good thing about this age in which we live in is we've now learned several abbreviations, one of which is KMN, or Kill Me Now. The election. Well, thank you very much for that flattering description.
Well, you did.
A few races here and there.
You hit it.
Well, I missed a couple here and there. I was hardly perfect in this, but I got it for the most part. But it wasn't that hard of an election to call for a couple of reasons. First of all, just the fundamental dynamics of it. A very unpopular president, an incumbent party in Congress, the Democrats, who really didn't have much to defend, and also just fought on the most hostile terrain. This is the equivalent of Republicans really being dealt, you know, a 20 in blackjack, and about the only way you're going to blow the election is to, you know, draw another card and bust.
On a couple occasions they almost tried to do.
They did. They tried in a couple cases, but look, it was just fought on, you know, very favorable terrain for Republicans across the country. States where Barack Obama was not unpopular, and states that just were Republican naturally or reverting to natural. And so you saw, in some respects, a realignment on 2014. The stars kind of aligning the way they should be, number one. Second, they did take advantage of the historical thing. And so what I'm looking at now that we could continue talking about 2014, but we have to sort of pivot toward 2016 now. You know, these campaigns never stop. One picks up and one leaves off. So that's what Republicans have to be thinking about at this point. That's okay. We have now picked up Congress altogether. We did very well at the gubernatorial level, even though I think it's only a net one of Republicans. They picked up three states and dropped two. They had to defend nine states where they had a Republican governor running for reelection in a state where Obama had won the state twice. So you're talking a blue state or a purple state. And they won eight of those nine races. So that was, you know, a pretty strong performance. And then I can, you know, bore you with further details about pickups at, you know, lower races across the country. But anyway, it was a very good night overall. But it does raise the question of, did the party make any progress toward winning the White House in 2016? And on that front, you know, that's still to be seen. And that's going to be dependent on, obviously, how the new Congress comports itself next year. And it's also going to be seen how this rather crowded, complicated Republican field of candidates sorts itself out.
Okay, so what are you looking at for this? Well, let me go to this very salient question, which I think is going to have a big impact. Obama's threat to use his executive orders to let 4 million people stay here. Mm-hmm. Do you think? I mean, what kind of? I frankly find that move absolutely. It almost seems. You know, I'm probably because I'm not looking at it correctly, but it seems like it's almost dim-witted because, I mean, here's his chance to actually get something done, and he is just, and he's almost like he's throwing the gauntlet down here.
Well, I'm going to say something which may surprise you or throw your viewers or listeners off, but my suggestion to Republicans is let him have this. Don't fight him on this. Don't try to undo this executive order through spending bills or any sort of legislative hook and crook to try to unravel it. Let him have his way on this one. First of all, immigration is a very complicated issue. He'll have a backlash if he does this. Mark my words. You look north from where you are in Oregon. They were more Democrat than California was on election night. They added to their legislature, for example, with liberal lawmakers. At the same time, they had a ballot measure on illegal immigration that would have offered driver's license to illegals. It failed by a 2-to-1 margin. The idea there's going to be a wonderful round of applause for the president doing the executive order, I'm not so sure. I think what the president is doing is this, and this analogy which I like to use these days. He has gone to China and cut a global warming deal with the Chinese on climate change, carbon tax laws. He has come out on net neutrality. He is now talking about doing the executive order, which will come out in a few days. He he is trying to draw the Republicans into a fight, and what he's trying to do is he's trying to draw them into a hockey fight. And if you know your ice hockey rules, what happens when two people fight? Well, both people get a penalty, but the person who gets the biggest penalty is the person who drops his gloves first. And my thinking is that what he's trying to do is he's trying to get Republicans to drop the gloves first. So by doing these executive orders, he's trying to get Republicans to overreact, to come out swinging wildly, to talk about shutting down the government. In other words, to play into a negative character that the media like to stereotype. So my advice to the Republicans is, in these cases, don't take the bait. Let him do his immigration order, but the moment he does the immigration order, start hitting him with various immigration-related bills, things like border security and other aspects of the problem, and force him into single-issue decisions on this topic. Don't get into this angry back and forth and shutting down the government, which you will ultimately lose.
The hockey fight analogy bill. I like it. Whoever drops their gloves first. But here's the other thing is, people stand around, including the referees, until one of them has been beaten to the ground.
Right, and I just, look, the history tells us, we've known this going back to the Clinton-Gingrich days, that when these two sides do get into a fight, Congress and a Democratic president, it is a Democratic president who gets the Congress on the ground and pulls a sweater over their head and all that. It's a public relations fight between, what, one man versus an institution?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We forget that even though Barack Obama is really a very wounded commodity right now and, in some respects like a dairy product whose product date has expired, he still has a bully pulpit, he still has an office, and he still has an institutional advantage over the Congress, which we forget. Obama was at 40% popularity on election night. The Congress was at about 20% on election night.
That's true.
In a matchup between the two in terms of raw popularity, Congress will lose that. So, I hope Republicans just think over the strategy carefully.
I just saw that Pelosi looks like she's going to be reelected as head of the Democrats in Congress and Reid in the Senate. Or in the House and the Senate.
Now, she's in a tough spot here, and she somewhere, if you ever got her to admit this, she would reluctantly do so. She's 74 years old. She wants to be the Speaker one last time, and here's the problem. Right now, Republicans have 244 seats in the House. They'll pick up two more in Louisiana, taking out to 246. That's the most seats in Congress since 1946 for Republicans. If they pick up one more race in Arizona, it takes them to 247. That's the most seats since the 1920s. The problem for Pelosi is simply this. She has to find a way to get a Democratic elected president in 2016 who can also win over 30 seats and give her back the House. The way House seats are drawn up right now and the way they have now sided after this election, that's not going to happen in one fell swoop. So she needs two favorable cycles. So here's the problem. Let's say she could pick up 20 or 25 seats with a Democratic win in 2016. That would then make it a midterm election and a referendum on an incumbent Democratic president. She would give back at least half, if not all, those seats in that first election. Realistically, if you talk to people who crunch these numbers and study redistricting and all that sort of stuff, they will tell you that the House is probably now under Republican lock and key into the next decade. And so if you're Nancy Pelosi, you've had your chance to be Speaker and it's gone past. And so this is in part, I think, why you see some pressure on her from some Democrats saying, please step aside, let somebody else take over. But she can remain minority leader for as long as she so chooses, but I just think the problem for her now is that she's going to be stuck as minority leader. She's not going to get back the Speaker's gavel unless something unforeseen happens.
How about Reid?
Harry Reid, I think he's in a different position in this regard. He is actually of better service to the Democrats now as a minority leader in the Senate than a majority leader in this regard. Harry Reid's a terrible spokesman for the party. It's a grim undertaker's face, which, doesn't do anything to move forward your party. He is also an exceptional parliamentarian. He's a perfect kind of guy to fiddle with the rules and screw up Republican votes and just get in their way, gum on your shoe. He's good at that. So he's actually the right guy for their job for the next 2 years. But then consider this scenario, which I would actually bet my dollar on right now. Whereas the 2014 races were favorable to Republicans in terms of Democrats having to defend across America, 2016 is the opposite. You have, I think, 24 Republican seats and 10 Democratic seats up, some of them in hostile territory for Republicans. There is a chance that the Democrats could get the Senate back in 2016. If so, then I think what you'll have is a new wave of Democrats coming in, and Chuck Schumer, the very, very ambitious number three man in the Senate, will step over Dick Durbin, the number two man, and he will step over him and put a knife in the back of Harry Reid, and I think Schumer will make a grab to become the next majority leader.
Ah, so you're saying is that you believe the Senate in 2016 could go back to the
It could. And then you look at the 2018 numbers, and I think they're even worse for Democrats than they were in 2014. It's something like 25 and 8, I think 25 Democratic seats and 8 Republican seats. So you could have this wild volatility where you have the Senate going Republican 2014, Democratic it's in 16, the Republicans in 2018. Which underscores, by the way, something unusual that we've been going through in politics for the last 20 years now. When Obama leaves office in 2017, it will mark the first time in presidential history that we've had 3 consecutive 8-year presidencies, 2 full terms for 3 straight presidents. The first time we've had that in presidential history since presidents 3, 4, and 5, which would be Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe. So you would think that would speak to a lot of political stability and harmony. Indeed, back then they called it the era of good feelings. Instead, it's been just the opposite. Bill Clinton came in with a Democratic Congress, and he gave it away in 2 years. George Bush came in with a Republican Congress, gave it away in 6 years. Now Barack Obama, who came in with a Democratic Congress, has given his away in 6 years. So we have presidents who come in and underachieve, and the punishment is taken out, not on them at reelection time, but it's taken out on their party in Congress. And so I think you see the Senate going through this washing cycle for the next couple cycles.
Well, this is going to be interesting. Can you stay with us a little bit longer, or do you have to run?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here we got to take. Well,
yeah, sure.
Okay, we've got a we got to take a quick break here. Carl Lindebaugh, KCNR 1460. This portion. We'll get to that when we get back. We'll be right back after these messages. We're here with Bill Whalen, who is from the Hoover Institute out of Stanford University, and has been. He's on every month on this Tuesday, and we're building up to the election, and where, as he said, that he didn't get every one of them right, he got most of them right, and what he's talking about now is the future here and what it looks like in the next election cycles. We want to talk when we get back about, you know, things maybe a little bit closer to home than that. All right, we'll be right back.
Like the legend of the Phoenix.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Hello, folks. I'm here with our local hero, Bob the Drop from Mount Shasta Springwater. Bob, I want to thank you for all the support and good things that Mount Shasta Springwater does for our local communities.
You are welcome. And rest assured, we will continue to support our local friends and supply them with the best spring water in the world.
How can people get your great tasting spring water, Bob?
Just call us at 1-800-922-6227.
That's 1-800-922-6227?
Yes, for the healthiest, best tasting spring water in the world.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. call Reading Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. 35 degrees out there. It's going to be a nice day if you call in the 60s nice, which I do. It's going to be sunshiny until tomorrow. It looks like rain. Hey, I want to remind everybody that Dr. Christy Davis, optometrist, is offering free comprehensive eye exams for U.S. military veterans during this entire month of November. It's extended to all veterans currently serving, honorably discharged, retired, with proof of service. Give her a call at 222-7271 or stop by her office at 2515 Park Marina, Suite 201. Again, 222-7271, a free comprehensive eye exam by Dr. Christy Davis. She wants to give back to the veterans. Our guest is Bill Whalen from Hoover Institute of out of Stanford University, and we're talking politics, and that I was bragging about him because, you know, about all the great decisions when he prognosticated what was going to happen in the election. As he pointed out, it had been pretty hard to lose on that one. Is that right, Bill? Was it that easy? Was it that easy? Did you really think? How about Landra out of Louisiana? Is she toast?
Yeah, she's probably toast in several regards. First of all, let's just do the math on what happened down there on November 4th. That state has what's called a primary. It's a jungle primary. It's everybody goes on the ballot. And if no one fails to win 50% of the vote, then they have a runoff on December 6th, which is what happened. Landrieu and Bill Cassidy, Republican congressman, facing off. Landrieu won the primary, but she won by 16,000 votes. If you combine the Cassidy votes with those of a third gentleman named Jim Maness, who is a Tea Party candidate, they received 186,000 more votes than she did. So that's problem number one. She basically got wiped out in the anti-Landrieu vote. Problem number two is that her party is already backing away from her. The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee has pulled its funding for her runoff. So she is now getting buried in advertising. She's on TV in only two of the six TV markets in Louisiana. The Cassidy campaign and the National Republican Senatorial Committee have just gone in there full out, and they're now campaigning around the clock on TV in all six Louisiana markets. So I think it's just it bodes very poorly for her. A Cassidy poll has her down by 16 points. I've seen other internal polls that have it at about 8 to 10. So I'd be just shocked if she did not lose.
Okay. Now, I really liked what you said about the of course the hockey fight analogy, and to let Obama step on himself when if he does make a decision. Do you think we're maybe approaching an era of that we're going to have more bipartisanship? Do you think the Republicans are going to be smart enough to try to incorporate to reach out to him, but also reach out to the Democrats to kind of move the country forward?
What I like to remind people is this. Yes, I mean, the language between the two sides couldn't be more uncomfortable and less trust and all that, but they have a mutual interest here in this regard. Republicans are keenly aware that if they're going to move the party forward into the presidential election, they have to work on the party image, and part of the party image problem is being productive in Congress. So it would be in the Republicans' best interest to show some matters, to be produced with the president. But then you look at the president and say, okay, what's in it for him? Well, it's simply, in a word, legacy. He's doing right now what all presidents do in their last 2 years when they've just gotten creamed in their midterm election and their lame ducks. He's thinking about his presidential library. And what he is thinking in this regard, he's thinking, okay, here's a beautiful design. I like this lanai. I like where it is in Hawaii, blah, blah, blah. Now he's coming to the room where will be all the photos of the bill signings that he's done. And guess what? That room is empty right now.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?
He has Obamacare to put up on the wall in terms of signing, and that's about it. So he's thinking legacy, and his people are thinking legacy, and he's thinking, I need some kumbaya moments here, some, good government moments where I'm looking like a president. So I think this presents an opportunity. As bad as things appear between these two parties and the personalities don't like each other, they do have some, a common need to come together on some items. Now, granted, this will start out as very small stuff. It'll be perhaps a deal to repeal the medical device tax on Obamacare. You can do that without destroying Obamacare altogether. They may be able to come together on some trade agreements and do that as well. So there's some low-hanging fruit for them to go after. I still think tax reform is probably the obvious destination for the two sides. But people have to understand that the president has a legacy need in addition to the Republicans having a rehabilitation need. So maybe there'll be a little more cooperation than we think.
Okay, well, that'd be interesting.
It would be. It would be a surprise and all that. Now, getting back to the Senate, by the way, to close out, if Landrieu loses on December 6th, as I suspect she will, that's 54 Senate seats for Republicans, again, the most since the 1920s. And if I am Mitch McConnell, I'm making a beeline for Senate seat number 55, and that is Joe Manchin, currently a Democratic senator from West Virginia, who is on the opposite side of his party on guns, on coal, on pipelines, on this. All sorts of issues. And his state's gone heavily Republican. They elected a Republican senator the other Tuesday. The state has its first Republican majority congressional district in over 100 years. And Manchin's a smart guy. He's a former governor, and he sees the writing on the wall. So if R. McConnell would go to him and say, Joe, you know, if you come over to the red team, we'll give you a nice committee assignment. I promise you won't get primaried in your state. We won't run anybody against you. So come join us. And maybe Manchin would do that, and so that would give you 55 seats. And that sounds trivial, but just each additional seat you pick up makes it a little harder for the Democrats to take it back in 2016.
What about the pipeline? Is that going to be passed? They said that they might even be able to override a veto by the president.
I think I would be shocked if Obama signed it. I think he will sign off on it at some point in his second term, but just not right now, not right away. That would look like capitulation, I think, from the White House's side. But I'm not sure if they had the 67 to veto it either. But this is a good example of things you can do and be productive, if you will. Even though technically it's a loss if you don't get it signed into law, you have now shown that you can pass a bill and send it to the president, and you put the president on the spot. Now, keep in mind, this is a president who has issued the fewest vetoes since Warren Harding. And it is never a good thing as a president to be in the same sentence as Warren Harding. So this means, look, Obama, for his first 2 years in the White House, did not have to face bad legislation or things he didn't want to sign because he had a Democratic Congress. For the last 4 years, he's had a dysfunctional Congress that doesn't produce laws, and so he's just not had to act on measures. So now Republicans can put things in front of him and force him to make decisions. And even if he decides not to sign something and veto it and they can't override, at least the Congress has shown that it's adult and it can get things done, and it puts the pressure on the president to act and react. And that, to me, is part of the trick for Republicans to rehabilitate the party image.
Yeah, they, you know, that's what I would think, is that, you know, there's 300 bills that just died on the desk of Harry Reid. If they start pushing those through to him and saying, hey, look, here's a bill to get America moving, and you choose not to sign it or veto it.
So you start pushing those bills, and guess what? If the Democrats try to block them in the House, if they try to filibuster them, or the president doesn't sign them, then suddenly the Republicans don't look so much like the obstructionist party, now do they?
They're just trying to get work done. It's Democrats. Bill, what do you think of Obama's abilities? I mean, this is a man I've always, when it first started, I likened him to a second lieutenant in firefights that was lurching from firefight to firefight. And the only thing we hoped was that he'd learn enough to keep us alive at the end. But I'm not sure now.
Well, I think what's interesting about Barack Obama is this. He came onto the job with arguably the least amount of experience. It's, again, probably going back to Warren Harding. Again, just a bad analogy for a president. But presidents grow in office. Harry Truman grew in office. John Kennedy grew in office in a very short period of time. You take over the job, you know, you grow in stature. You also learn how to use the reins of power, and so you become a more productive president. I just look at his presidency 6 years in, and I wonder what exactly he has learned about the job and how it's made him a better president necessarily. We still don't know what, if any, relationship he has with Washington itself, with leaders of Congress. We still don't really think he has a keen grasp of foreign policy. You know, he's always seemingly, you know, a step behind, a dollar short and a day late when it comes to acting on foreign policy matters. He just does not seem to have fully engaged in the presidency the way people might have thought and might have hoped. He's obviously a very bright man. He's obviously a very politically ambitious man. But what is troublesome, I think, and this has shown in the last couple of years, is how much he really throws himself into the job and enjoys this job. Say what you will about Bill Clinton. God knows we could have a long discussion about his many foibles. This was a man who threw himself into that job passionately. Remember the last day of office when Bush was sworn in, and they literally, my God, Clinton wouldn't leave town. He just run around town all day long. Just, I think he didn't leave until sundown. It was that long, whereas other presidents get out of town right away. Obama just doesn't seem to relish the office the way that his predecessors have, and I just, you know, I think it's a very cautionary tale for future people who run for office. You can get swept up in your biography. You can get swept up in, you know, in some sort of change you represent, be it, you know, gender, be it race, be it some sort of historical facet. But then once you get on the job, you actually get into the hard, difficult job.
You have to run the
governing.
You have to do it.
Yeah. He just has never really mastered that.
Hey, our guest has been Bill Whalen of the Hoover Institute, and we really appreciate this. We can continue this through this coming year, from Stanford University, and with his thoughts once a month here on what's happening on the national sense, and we appreciate this, Bill.
Okay, it's my pleasure.
Okay, have a great day. Okay, hey, when we come back, we're going to have Mark Baird on, who heads up the state of Jefferson, and find out what's going on with that. We'll be right back. Carl and Linda Bott.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. At this hour, President Obama is getting an update on the government's response to Ebola. Here's SRN News White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
The president is holding a West Wing meeting with members of his national security and public health teams. Over the weekend, while attending the G20 summit in Australia, Mr. Obama said that more nations are joining the U.S. in the effort to end the Ebola epidemic in West Africa.
As White House correspondent Greg Cluxton, today's White House meeting comes a day after a surgeon who contracted Ebola in his native Sierra Leone died at the University of Nebraska Medical Center despite valiant efforts to revive him to health. Parts of New York are expecting to measure the season's first big snowfall, not in inches, but feet. National Weather Service forecaster Bruce Sullivan.
We could see amounts in those areas, especially near and south of Buffalo, New York, of up to 2 feet or so.
Meanwhile, Erie County Undersheriff Mark Whipperman telling WIVB that his staffing has been increased to deal with all the headaches.
We have a full staff of deputies for the next 24 to 36 hours. We're going to redeploy some of our special units, have them put their job duties on hold.
The Senate votes later today on whether to approve building of the Keystone XL pipeline. Here's SRN's Linda Kenyon on Capitol Hill.
The bill, which was passed by the House last week, needs 60 votes to pass in the Senate. Senator Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, the sponsor of the bill, has been working behind the scenes to get more of her fellow Democrats to support the bill. Landrieu, who faces a runoff election on December 6th, knows this bill is crucial to her political future.
That's SRN's Linda Kenyon. Big news in the NFL at this hour. It is suspending running back Adrian Peterson without pay for at least the rest of this season. The league sent today and informed the Minnesota Vikings running back he will not be considered for reinstatement before April 15th for violating the NFL personal conduct policy. This is SRN News.
Do you ever feel like Christmas has been hijacked by all the commercialism and those who want to replace Merry Christmas with Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings?
It's like a carjacking, but like of our religion.
Isn't it time somebody spoke up?
This Christmas season, join Kirk Cameron in his new movie, Saving Christmas.
Join me and my family, and together, let's put Christ back into Christmas.
Saving Christmas. In theaters for 2 weeks only, beginning November 14th. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. More information available at savingchristmas.com.
Did you know up to 1 in 5 Americans will get the flu this year? Because less than half of us get vaccinated? You didn't know? That's okay. We do. Rite Aid has certified immunizing pharmacists at the ready to discuss your risks, answer your questions, and shield you from what you don't know. So get your flu shot, no appointment necessary, at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacists for details.
The pilot of a small plane has died after that plane crashed into a home in Chicago overnight. A fire official says the twin-engine cargo plane plunged into the basement of the home, but thankfully the two residents inside themselves were unhurt. The pilot had reported engine trouble soon after taking off from nearby Midway International Airport. How is the murky runoff from one of Seattle's main roads affecting the spawning salmon nearby?
There's a high correlation in this pre-spawn mortality phenomenon in urban creeks where there's a lot of stormwater pollution.
There's the voice of Chris Wilkie with Puget Sound Keeper Alliance. He says Something's causing the trouble, but there's also something that might fix it, according to NOAA researcher biologist David Baldwin.
Well, it's just a bit of mulch on top, but then it's a mix of, I'll let you in, it's a mix of gravel and compost.
Kind of stormwater pollution sieve or drain that would filter out a lot of the harmful effects of research being conducted by scientists with NOAA at Washington State University. This is SRN News. Toyota is about to take its first small step into the unproven market for emissions-free hydrogen-powered vehicles.
The world's largest automaker has announced it'll start selling fuel cell cars in Japan on December 15th and in the U.S. as well as Europe in mid-2015. Fuel cell vehicles run on compressed hydrogen gas. They emit no exhaust, though fossil fuels are used in the production of hydrogen and to pressurize it. Both Honda and Hyundai are also experimenting with limited sales and leases of fuel cell cars.
That's SRN's Jeremy House reporting. The sporty-looking four-door Toyota Miara will retail for 6.7 million yen, $57,600 for you and I before taxes. Toyota Motor Corporation hopes to sell 400 in Japan, 300 in the rest of the world in its first year of production. On Wall Street, the Dow is booming in early trading. It's up by 22 points right now. More details at SRNnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:05 in the morning. Wow. A Tuesday, December the 18th. A lot of stuff happening today. Let's start with the weather there, Bob.
Well, what we're looking forward to is partly sunny skies today, but late tonight and into tomorrow, we are looking for some precipitation. Not a lot. Not nearly as much as we would want. Probably much less than an inch. We want more. And that's going to continue into the weekend with rain off and on throughout the foreseeable future, just not huge amounts of it. Right now in Reading, we have 41 degrees, and the report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Our customers are warm friends. Give them a call at 365-3793. Discounts for veterans and seniors. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Give them a call at 222-8222 because they have guns and ammo, and they're having a big sale right now on SIGs, Sig Sauer pistols right now at Bastiani Arms. Great deals down there, and what you get is, of course, customer service. You don't have to worry about once you sell it that if you need something done on one of your guns or if you have questions, come on back, and John Bastiani and his team will take care of you. And they take care of you very well. They treat you as a valued customer and not just somebody that walks in off the street. Bastiani Arms. Okay. Our guest is Mark Baird, who is the leader or the spoke? I know you're the spokesman, but can I say that you're probably one of the main leaders of the State of Jefferson movement there, Mark?
Well, I'm one of the leaders, yeah.
Okay. I mean, since this thing has started, your name has come up so much. And I know that, you know, and we've talked several times, and when I see things happening, I see you there at it. So, you know, can you give us a synopsis of what's happening right now with the State of Jefferson?
Yes, we have six counties who have affirmed declarations and petitions to withdraw from the state of California under Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution. Just made a presentation to the Trinity County Board of Supervisors. We have to wait until after January. There are two new supervisors there, so we'll have to go back and give another presentation there. Gave a presentation to the Plumas County Board of Supervisors. Once again, they have a couple changing, so we'll have to go back after the first of the year there. We're getting ready to give a presentation to the Lake County Board of Supervisors. Just had a town hall in Colusa County. A town hall scheduled for El Dorado County. We have a town hall scheduled for Mendocino County. And we're talking to, we've had a couple of town halls in Lassen, Placer. They just had a town hall in Sierra County. In fact, one of the Sierra County supervisors is on the committee for Jefferson there. So I'd say it's going quite well, and we expect to see a lot of progress in 2015. And hopefully, perhaps, if things go well, we'll have legislation introduced to withdraw from the state of California in 2015.
Wow. So it's with that number of people, if you have that many that much interest. Now, when you say legislation, are you talking about a referendum? Or are you talking about something introduced into the House? I mean, all this has to happen. So how do you plan? What are your plans for this?
Well, Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution is very clear. It says that we need 51% of the state legislature. And in other words, Article 4, Section 3 says, nor shall any state be formed from the territory of an existing state, and I'm paraphrasing, unless the state legislature affected agrees and Congress agrees. So by inference, Article 4 is very simple. We need 51% of the state legislature. We do not need the governor's permission. He's not mentioned in Article 4. And we need 51% of the federal legislature, and we do not need the president's signature. He is not mentioned in Article 4.
Okay, so if you get 51% of the legislature say, okay, fine, take off, then it's ready to rock right then.
Well, what happens then is committees of separation will be appointed, and Article 4 is not particularly clear on that. I imagine Congress will have some say in that, and also the affected counties will have some say in that. And once the committees of separation are formed, then we divide the assets and we divide our portion of the debt. And according to the state's attorney general, Kamala Harris, and this isn't my number, this is her number, we would be responsible for 3% of California's debt. And at that point, we divide the assets, divide the debt, have a state constitutional convention, and away we go.
Just 3% of the debt, huh?
Well, yeah, 3%.
How much is that of the population? Right, is that $2 trillion or something? Because you know the way that does that mean the unfunded liabilities also? Does that mean everything?
Well, the unfunded liabilities are part of the equation that California doesn't admit to. So California right now, they admitted to $180 billion worth of long term debt about 4 months ago or 5 months ago, and then all of a sudden the state controller came out and said, ooh, we made a little mistake. We have $350 billion in long-term debt. So we will accept 3% of the debt that California admits to. Now, we know there's much, much more, but the governor can't admit to that because people might realize that the emperor has no clothes on, if you will. So we're very happy to accept 3% of what California admits to. And remember, when West Virginia separated from Virginia, it took 150 years to finalize the separation of the debt, and West Virginia received extremely favorable terms. So that's a very manageable figure with the population and the economy we're going to have, and so we're fine with that.
You know what, let's talk about that when we come back, because that's one of the main questions is, how are we going to pay for this? I mean, you're talking about up here in the North State, we don't have a lot of industry. A lot of money, more money comes in than we pay, you know, than we give the government. More money has to come back to support what's going on up here with the people. So let's talk about that when we come back from our break. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460. Our guest, Mark Baird, the spokesman for the state of Jefferson.
Are you interested in the future of REU, your community-owned electric utility? Hello, my name is Barry Tippin, REU's director, and I am personally inviting you to our 2020 Strategic Planning Open House, Thursday, November 20th, from 4 to 7 p.m. The Strategic Forum will be held in the community room adjacent to the Council Chambers at City Hall on Cypress Avenue. The electric industry is facing ever-changing challenges, and with your valued input, REU can obtain the highest standards, providing our community the best valued services. For more information, please call 339-7300. I look forward to seeing you on November 20th.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
By me.
And me.
And us.
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent Luigi here, celebrating Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary with a radio spot made by 55...
friends, family,
and kids.
From all the way back in 1959, when Mary started the first shack in Sonoma Valley.
Today, there are 19 shacks, from Walnut Creek,
where kids make their own pizzas,
to Santa Rosa,
with a meatball that's as big as your head.
And every one of them makes Mary's legendary homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with our secret family recipes.
Just like Mary did back in 1959.
I've been coming to the Shack since before you were born.
Whoa, how old are you?
That's not an appropriate question.
Thanks to everyone for 55 great years.
Original recipes, original Shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange sells a wide variety of freeze-dried emergency foods. But in times of crisis, all you need to do is add hot water. To help you heat that water, the Patriot now carries the Sun Rocket Solar Water Heater and Thermos. This amazing compact device can heat to a boil 2 cups of water in just over an hour using just ordinary sunlight. Use it in meal preparation, melt snow for drinking, and eliminate Giardia and other waterborne bacteria through heat pasteurization. It's ideal for camping, picnics, and sporting events, and essential in any home or auto emergency kit. Remember, peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way, next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And in Palisadro, we're in the Holiday Marketplace. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and the Bot. 41 degrees out there today, going up in the mid-60s. Might be looking at some rain tonight. But not enough, as Bad Bob says. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, right across from Sierra Gibbs at 2225 Hilltop Drive. Gents, Christmas, can I say that again? Estate jewelry, great prices, any type of jewelry you could possibly imagine, right there at Four Winds Jewelry. Leonard does great work down there. He will give you great deals. Plus, it's the only trained watch repair guy in the whole area. All at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Okay, our guest, Mark Baird, spokesman for the State of Jefferson Movement. One of the things they talk about, Mark, is how, with that debt and the amount of money it costs to run a government, how can we up here in Northern California, which doesn't have, a real strong economy right now, how can we pay for everything? How can we thrive?
Well, this is really the question that most people ask, and it's very interesting to me because typically it's the status quo politicians who really come off the bench with, well, how can we make it here? How can we make it? The state gives us more money than we give them. First of all, I question those numbers. As we have done our research, and if you go to jeffersondeclaration.net, on the right-hand side, we have an 88-page financial document. And we also have a financial model that we're giving to county leaders, county boards of supervisors, and city councils so that they can vary the model by plugging in different sales tax rates and different tax rates to see how their county would fare under these models in the state of Jefferson. And so as we've done our research, we realized very early on that there is no place in California, the way California keeps its books, there is no single source where you can go and find out how much counties get and how much counties give the state government. In addition to that, the recognition by most of these supervisors is that California's government financial structure, its structure of socialism, will not change, and the state of Jefferson is going to have to fund all of that stuff. And those are the fundamental misconceptions that really we want to fight. First of all, the state of Jefferson's government is going to be far leaner and far meaner than the state of California. We don't need 570-plus state agencies to run a small rural state with a million people in it. We don't need all of the, quote, public-private partnerships that California funds in order to deprive you of your life, your liberty, and your money. We don't need a lot of the bureaucratic morass that California has created in order to control its population. In fact, that's what we're fighting. We don't need or want a lot of the programs that California is forcing down our throats right now. So we not only will be able to fund ourselves, we also will have the jurisdiction to responsibly use our natural resources and to get the economies in the state of Jefferson once again to thrive, as they did before the state of California regulated us out of three of our four historic businesses. So those, for example, in Siskiyou County alone, I'm going to call them the stump fees, but it's PILT money from the Northwest Timber Harvest Plan, which is a really lousy plan that the government came up with to throw rural counties a bone so that they could continue to take property off the tax rolls. And that plan alone, the stump fees from that plan alone, on federal trust land alone, paid for the entire roads department, the entire education department, and the sheriff's department in Siskiyou County. Now, because of the spotted owl, there is no logging, so there are no fees, and so Siskiyou County is poor. Now, are we poor, or have we been impoverished by a regulatory scheme that we won't have to suffer under? And that's the question I'm trying to pose to these counties. You're not poor. You have been impoverished by the federal government and the state of California.
Well, Mark, when we start talking that, what about the same? Wouldn't California, the state of Jefferson, still be under the same federal programs? I mean, spotted owl is spotted owl. I mean, that's not going to change. That's not a state thing.
Absolutely not. The federal government does not have jurisdiction to establish a fiefdom over the state of California unless the state of California allows it. When you read the Constitution of the United States, the Ninth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment, Article 1, Section 8, the states have the power. When you read the founders' documents, when you read the contract itself that formed the product that we call the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction to impose its will over state sovereignty within a state. It has no jurisdiction whatsoever. And so in the state of Jefferson, we will have the state government that will defy the federal government and not allow that and assume state jurisdiction over lands within the boundaries of the state.
So then you will say that all the land that's in the state of Jefferson now belongs to you, even if it's a national park?
Not necessarily so, but what we will say is that all of the lands within the state of Jefferson will be under the jurisdiction of the state. In other words, the Bureau of Land Management doesn't own that land. It simply manages the land for the people of Jefferson. Well, what we will say to the BLM is we don't need you here, and the state's fully capable of managing that land itself. And as far as the federal government, they don't have jurisdiction over public health and safety. Siskiyou County, 250,000 acres burned and put several communities in direct risk of wildfire, and that was under federal management. So I think perhaps state management would have done a much better job of that. Fruit Growers Supply Company alone lost 50 years worth of timber production under federal management. Well, I would suggest that even an idiot could do a better job than that.
Well, I don't know if you'd have much of an argument with that one. What about infrastructure? Infrastructure of the roads like I-5 and all the roads that go through the state of Jefferson, as you're showing, both the highway, which is a federal interstate highway, they'd still funds for that would still flow in.
Well, once again, Caltrans is almost fully funded by federal highway money. And if the federal government wants to maintain highways to federal specifications, then the federal government can pay the state of Jefferson to do that. And that's what they do with the state of California now. You know, our intent, and here's another angle that a lot of the counties who are obstructionists to this would like to use. They would like to say that, well, you know, we have to have these mandates. And quite frankly, we don't. If the federal government wants to blow the public nickel in the state of Jefferson, well, we'll have a state government that will help administer those programs. But where the federal government mandates behavior, we're certainly free as free and independent people, according to our Constitution, to contribute to that help. And that's what we intend to do. But it's not our goal to change anybody's job. We're still going to have roads. We're still going to need police. We're still going to need fire people. We're still going to need all of those things. The difference will be we will be free to manage those departments so that they actually do someone some good and not simply tax people to death where they get nothing in return.
Okay. What about social programs? You said it's going to be a leaner, meaner government. There's a lot of money flows into people, to children that need help, schools, all of these things. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, and those programs are so diverse and they're so complex that it's very difficult to use a broad brush to address all of those programs. You'd have to go one at a time in order to do that justice. Some of those programs are funded on the federal level. Once again, if the feds want to blow the public nickel in Jefferson, we'll certainly administer the program. Some of those programs, what we really need in order to get a whole spending, are 50. I'm a reserve deputy sheriff in Siskiyou County. For example, down at the I see people that I've seen before a million times walking in the door to go to court because they've committed some crime, and they're on Social Security disability. So what we need are fraud investigators, and we need to get people off the welfare rolls who can and should work and who are gaming the system. And that in itself would save a tremendous amount of money. The state of California doesn't do that. The state of California runs radios. If you want to get on this program, call this number, and we'll help you get money. We won't do that. If you need and deserve help, help will work. If you don't need and don't deserve the help, you need to work.
Hey, Mark, you're starting to break up some. Are you moving around right now?
No, I'm not. I'm sitting dead still, and it's probably just the phone line.
Okay, you sounded better now. Okay, you came back right there. When we talk about, and I understand what you're saying in fact, I think it was Indiana or someplace back east there in the Midwest that said, if you're going to collect unemployment, we're going to put you to work here in the state doing things. I don't know how that's going to pass or if it will pass, but I think it's a good idea. If you're going to collect money from the state and from the taxpayers, maybe you ought to work for it if you can. Okay. The public safety part of it, the highway patrol would go away, at least, the California version, but all the public safety, would fall under the state of Jefferson again.
Well, constitutionally, the county sheriff has all of the jurisdiction for public health and safety within any given county. So constitutionally, the county sheriff is responsible for that function in each county. Now, whether we have a Jefferson Highway Patrol or not isn't up to me. That's up to the state's constitutional convention. And that will decide the basic governmental functions of the state. However, for example, on a federal level, why do we need to invite 47 federal agencies, all of them armed, into our state? The county sheriff has that jurisdiction. Why shouldn't the federal government pay your county sheriff at a federal prevailing wage plus profit and overhead for administration in order to provide those services? And that way, in our state, we would have one standard of behavior, we would have one code of ethics, and we would have one man responsible to the people for his the conduct of his department. And if the people weren't satisfied with the level of service they received, then they could elect a different person to hold that job. Instead, we have a lot of law enforcement officers running around, all with different standards of behavior, different codes of ethics, and certainly they treat the public differently, and they are accountable to no one. So in the state of Jefferson, federal law enforcement will not be welcome in our state. The county sheriff will be responsible. Local police departments will be responsible for that. And I am sure if the federal government would like to chase poachers on trust land, they're going to be quite happy to pay our sheriffs to do it.
What about National Guard? Yeah, well, I guess National Guard for the state of Jefferson.
Well, that's another thing. Constitutionally, there's no provision for National Guard within each state. There's a provision for state militias. I don't know what we'll call it. You can call it National Guard. You can call it Reserve. You can call it militia. It really doesn't matter. I mean, certainly we will have a posse comitatus-type organization that's responsible to state government for defense of our state or a contribution during national times of emergency. Every state has that. We're no different.
Okay. Our guest is Mark Baird, spokesman for the state of Jefferson. I'm asking every question I can think of. I've got some more, though, when we come back. And the bottom line on this is a strict constitutional state that the feds will be kept out, essentially. All the law enforcement will have to move through. And from what I understand, they have to ask the sheriff to come on to onto non-federal property as it is. How about if it's – and are you recognizing the fact that you've got, say, a national park that the feds are going to be on? How does that work,
Mark? Well, once again, when you have federal trust land, there is some federal presence that's allowed there. Now, I don't agree. National parks were formed by the National Forest Act. I think it was Teddy Roosevelt did
right.
that.
Yeah.
That's not constitutional either. Those types of issues we'll address at the state constitutional convention. But if there is genuine federal presence that has genuine legitimacy and federal people are allowed on that property, fine. They can do what they need to do on that property.
Okay.
But when they step off onto state property, they have no jurisdiction. Your sheriff has jurisdiction.
Okay. All right. Our guest is Mark Baird, spokesman for the Jefferson or the State of Jefferson movement. And we'll be right back after these spots.
Needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
Orchard Nutrition Center buys locally to not only support our North State growers and vendors, but buying locally also reduces the time from grower to market, which ensures that your family has the freshest, most nutritious products available.
My name is Pam Giacomini. I'm with Hat Creek Grown Beef up in Hat Creek. Orchard Nutrition Center has been showcasing our product for several years, and we are now their exclusive grass-fed beef producer. They're also cooking our deli rounds in their deli and produce their roast beef sandwiches out of it. Working with the crew here is just fantastic. Fantastic. We really appreciate their work with us and their embracement of local products and good local producers.
Hi, I'm Richard Bloom. We manufacture the MSM Health Solutions products in Anderson, California. It's really good to see a local company like Orchard getting behind manufacturers locally and helping us to produce here locally to sell our products locally.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store. Visit them at 221 Locust Street in Reading or on the web at orchardnutrition.com.
Proof that kindness is the best medicine. The 2013-2014 Consumer Choice Award. If you're looking for a hospital with a proven track record for community preference, you don't have to look far. Mercy Medical Center Reading has received National Research Corporation's Consumer Choice Award for 7 consecutive years. Because providing health care with kindness means everyone wins. Learn more at reading.mercy.org. Hello, human kindness.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bud. Good morning, my friends. It is 8:34 in the morning, 41 degrees out there. Yeah. Today we're talking the state of Jefferson. We talk with everybody on our show here. Anything that's impacting on our community, it's the voice of the people out here. We like to have everybody on. If you got questions, this is a good chance to ask them. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Take a step back in time. Great haircuts, great prices. It's the cheers of barbershops. Discounts for seniors and veterans, and it's Man's Last Stronghold. Yep, Man's Last Stronghold. Their idea of gel is Butch Wax. At Cypress Square Barbershop, right across from the subway. Okay, our guest today is Mark Baird, from spokesman for the state of Jefferson. We're talking a number of things. We're talking about what the state of Jefferson is, how it would be funded, and all this for people that they've heard about the state of Jefferson, and they've got questions. This is the gentleman to ask, Mark Baird, because he is going throughout the state talking to different groups of people that are interested in the concept of an independent state, a new state, a state where they could be represented. Let's go back. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Thank you for having me on.
Well, you know what? You know, I know people don't agree with, you know, there's people out there who don't agree with it, the state of Jefferson. However, I think it's when you get I look at this as an exercise in people using their rights to try to form something that they believe will represent them. I see this as more than just a California movement. I see that a lot of different places in the nation are also doing this, wanting to have to change how their state and representation is. But we've got a caller right now. So good morning, Randy.
Hey, good morning, Colonel Carl. How are you?
I'm fine, Randy.
Thanks for what you're trying to do for us. My question is this. You said we need 51%. That's 51% of our state legislators to approve this. If that doesn't happen, then what's the next avenue? I'll take my answer off the line. Thank you.
Thanks, Randy. Yeah. Did you hear that, Mark?
Yes, I did. Thanks, Randy, for the question. Yes, Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution is very clear. We need a simple majority in the state legislature, and we need a simple majority in Congress. Now, I have spoken to a couple of members of Congress, and right now our simple majority in Congress looks pretty good. I mean, we could march in and have a state according to the mathematics of the United States Congress. I went into Daryl Steinberg's office the last time when we turned in two of the declarations and had them recorded by the Secretary of State, and then we petitioned the legislature to separate the state on behalf of the counties of Siskiyou and Modoc. And by the way, we're going to record four more in the middle of January, and hopefully we'll have two or three more by the time we record those next four. So what Mr. Steinberg's legislative advisor said to me, and I made the pitch to her, and the first thing she said, by the way, was, you realize before you even start, I'm an extremely liberal Democrat. And I said, yes, I do. And I made the pitch to her. And at the end of that, she said, you know, you have some extremely compelling points. Lack of empathy, the fact that people in the cities don't have empathy for our lives, the fact that most of the representation is between 500 and 900 miles away from the state of Jefferson, the fact that we're not represented adequately on the state level. Los Angeles has 35, we have 5 state legislators, you know, things like that. She said, you make some extremely compelling points, and I'm not opposed to what it is you want to do. And this was the Senate pro tem of the Senate pro tem's office talking. Now, she did a quick calculation in her head from the legislator she knew of and knew about, and said that our job was we needed to be able to change 16 votes in the Assembly and 11 votes in the Senate, and if we could succeed with that, we had a very good chance of getting a state. Now, she also said, in fairness to her, and to be accurate with my description, she said, it's going to be extremely difficult to do that because people in this building hate change. And I said, do you mean to tell me that they would continue to subjugate one-third of the state of California with unnecessary rules, regulations, taxes, so on and so forth, because they hate change? And she looked at me and she said, yes, that's true. So that's the battle that we're in. We need to change a bunch of votes in the state legislature. I think we can do it. Now, if we can't do it, we have established standing for the counties that have signed on. The counties who declined to listen, like Shasta County, they don't even want to hear the conversation, according to their board. And counties who have declined to participate, they will not have that standing. But we will have standing for a federal challenge for dilution of vote, if you will. Because Reynolds versus Sims, the one man, one vote deal that Earl Warren did in 1965, when the Supreme Court gave itself the power to change the Constitution of the United States, the remedy that they chose was to equalize apportionment districts along certain population lines. But the remedy that they did not look at, and the remedy that we would seek, is increasing representation. And so when we talk to legal scholars, a lot of them think the Reynolds opinion was just plain bad law. So the counties who sign up to declare and petition will have standing in that challenge of voter dilution.
Well, that's the bottom line on this, is representation, where we actually will have a voice in what happens in the legislature down in California. It used to be
your county is taxed, but you have no say in how those taxes are spent. Here's another one coming: the Strategic Growth Council, the Sustainable Ag Lands Conservation Program, the Working Landscape Action Team, in order to address, quote, climate change and use of farmland so that it represents social justice as well as farm products.
Wait a minute. Wait. What's that one? Social justice along with the crops?
Well, exactly. How does that work? It works just like it did in the old Soviet Union. You have a panel of bureaucrats. That panel of bureaucrats is going to go to your farm, and you're going to have to ask their permission about what to plant, how to plant it, when to plant it, how much of it you can plant. And this is so that we can work toward reductions of greenhouse emissions. And I just have to say, I don't know, Carl, where you went to school, but in my biology class, plants eat carbon. So farmland produces oxygen, and farmland reduces carbon, and growing things reduces the same amounts of carbon. So, but these land use decisions are economic decisions in order to support a robust economy when you recognize the introduction of social justice, social and cultural aspects of farming. So we have to have, according to the person who's on this Strategic Growth Council, we have to have a triple bottom line. In other words, we not only need to produce agricultural products, but we have to recognize the social and cultural aspects of it all. In other words, people, planet, prosperity, they call that.
Bob, you know, how many years have I asked you to get me a sound effect of a toilet flushing? I've asked you that I'm starting my sixth year. I want a sound effect of a toilet flushing, because I'm going to use it every time I hear something like this. Toilet flushes, hey, there's more jobs, there's more people leaving the state of California.
That is a decision the state consciously makes with your money. And I know people in urban areas don't seem as though they're affected by this, but believe me, go to the grocery store, you are affected by it. The additional 20 to 70 cents a gallon gas tax, the state has
which
a pilot
is coming
program.
Which is coming in January?
Yeah, the state has a pilot program now so that they can determine how they can charge you for every mile you drive. We won't have those things in the state
of
Jefferson.
Well, you know, the thing, you know, Linda, you know, the other day was shopping. She comes back, she says, you know, I just can't believe how much food has gone up. And I said, you know what, you know, beef, everything. Everything's going up. You know, the price of everything's going to go up, and it's going to get worse because we're in the middle of, we're in California, and all the regulations, everything they're putting on all this, the cost, the movement, the carb, everything, it all impacts, and it doesn't impact on the very rich people. It doesn't impact on them. It impacts on the middle class of what's left of us.
I hate to use this kind of grammar, but you ain't seen nothing yet in the state of California. Jerry Brown realizes you still have a nickel in your pocket, and he's going to get it. And the state of Jefferson is going to be a constitutional republic that protects property, protects the right of the individual to use his property to make a living for himself and his family. That statement alone should have every governmental official in California who loves liberty and even loves the Constitution of the state of California. Do you know why? In other words, why do we have a state if the federal government's completely in charge in California? Why bother to have a state? The preamble to the state of California tells us exactly why we have a constitution here. We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, in order to secure and perpetuate its blessings, do establish this constitution. It doesn't say anything about we the people bow to the altar of climate change, or we the people in order to give all of our money to government, or we the people in order to ask permission to take a breath or buy a gallon of gasoline. It doesn't say any of those things. Our Constitution was instituted among the people to secure our liberty, and that's what the state of Jefferson is going to restore, your liberty. But once again, I don't want to talk about Shasta County because so far they don't want to listen to the conversation there.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. Mark Baird is our guest, spokesman for the state of Jefferson. And what he's referring to, of course, right there is the Board of Supervisors when they did not want to when the state of Jefferson came in to give a presentation. They were not allowed to do that. They were able to talk, but no presentation was allowed. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Plus, I want to talk about this as State of Jefferson is not just located just right here in Northern California. This concept of freedom or of liberty and talking to, and, you know, is going across the country. And it's basing it, a lot of it is on rural and urban reasons. But it's not just in Northern California. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's beautiful this time of year. You've just got to get out and enjoy it. But achy, tired, and heavy legs can make you avoid things you love doing and keep you stuck inside with your feet up, missing out on the fun of fall. You may have venous insufficiency causing varicose veins, and treating it not only improves the appearance of your legs, it can also improve how they feel. So don't worry, you won't be stuck inside for very long. MD Imaging's board-certified vein specialists are your local vein and vascular treatment experts, trained in all the latest therapies for varicose veins. Our skilled doctors have been safely performing varicose vein treatments for over 9 years. Call MD Imaging's Vascular and Interventional Center today at 245-5945 to schedule a complimentary evaluation so you can look and feel great.
Can our northern counties afford to lose over 50 jobs? It doesn't make sense. Does it make sense to drive to Sacramento and back 322 miles round trip for a bottle of milk? Of course not. It doesn't make sense. What this means to you, up to 7 days turnaround time on your mail, checks and bill payments will be delayed, seniors and veterans medications will be delayed, families forced to leave the area because schools declining enrollment, fewer people means retailers affected by loss of revenue. It doesn't make sense. What you can do, check your local area weekly newspaper and the record search light
Thursday date section to sign the petition to save our local mail processing. Deadline is December 1st for names to be submitted. Just say no to the closure of local mail processing. It's the people's post office. Let's save it. Your name counts. You will make a difference. We need your help now. Paid for by the American Postal Workers Union. Call 223-7552 for more information. That's 223-7552.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Nabat. 41 degrees out there today. It's going to be it's going to go up in the 60s. Weather's going to start moving in here over the next couple of days. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. Senior and Veterans Discount, locally owned and operated. Give them a call at 365-3793. Also, don't forget to head on down to the Anderson Safeway. They're having a Stuff the Truck event today and Wednesday. Everything you could possibly want to put in there for Thanksgiving dinner for those less fortunate. They're working through the Veterans Resource Center to get this food to the people that need it. And a Thanksgiving dinner. They're going to be delivering the food here into this week or next week also. Our guest, Mark Baird, who is the spokesman for the state of Jefferson. We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, Billy Bob. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Mark, I want to, first of all, just congratulate you and applaud your effort on this. And again, I want to apologize as being a resident of this county, Shasta County, for over 50 years. I want to give you our sincere apology for the egocentric and bonehead supervisors we have in this county. And don't take it as a defeat. We will persist and get Shasta County on board for you, believe me. So, again, thank you for all you do.
Oh, well, Billy, thank you very much for calling in. And believe me, the people of Shasta County love liberty. I don't doubt that for a second. And I don't doubt that the Shasta County will be involved in the state of Jefferson. And quite frankly, we're not finished in Shasta County, not by a long shot. We don't give in to bullies, and we're not going to start now. That's the reason we're doing this, is because the state of California has been a bully to Northern California for 50 years, and we're tired of it. We're not going to take it anymore.
Mark, the state of Jefferson, that, of course, has got a lot of people involved with it up here in Northern California. But it's also happening in other states, too. If I've been reading the tea leaves and reading about what's happening back in the East Coast and also down into in the Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado area, maybe not Texas, but that other people are also wanting to have this freedom. They don't believe they're also being represented as well as they should be. Is that true?
Well, the people are awakening. They're absolutely right. They're not being represented. In fact, I have to call a fellow from upstate New York today. When we finish, I'm going to be calling him because they want some advice as to what to do to separate upstate New York from, quote, New York City, because under the Reynolds decision, the cities have all the large cities, not cities so much like Redding or Chico, but the large urban centers in the state of California absolutely control politics. Your vote is irrelevant. You are taxed, but you have no say in how those monies are spent. And that includes the city of Redding. So I've got to call that gentleman. There's an attempt, I believe, starting. There was a county commission in Florida or city council or something that wants to separate Florida from Tallahassee, lower Florida, I believe. There's a movement in Maryland, one in upper Michigan. People are starting to awaken to the do as I say, but not as I do government that they live under. And in California, certainly that's true. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at an article right now where Covered California just gave out $184 million in no-bid contracts, including several contracts that went to an outfit called the Tory Group, whose founder is friends with the California Covered California's executive director. Governor Jerry Brown says you must, we're in a government that advocates decline of your life, but not their own. Governor Brown lives in a mansion, drives around in a limousine with a California Highway Patrolman driving him anywhere he wants to go, anytime he wants to go there, but he doesn't want you to drive as much. The people in Sacramento don't miss many meals, but they want you to pay more for your food. I mean, this is one of those things that unless the people awaken and demand the liberty, and I'm here to say that I don't think liberty is possible under the government of California. That's why we advocate state split. But unless you demand liberty, what kind of world will your children grow up in? You know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn said in his book, The Gulag Archipelago, and he was talking about the revolution in 1913 when the Bolsheviks and the Soviets took over. He said, we lost our freedom and we didn't even know it.
Well, that's the bottom line. It's, you know, the fact is once the nose is in the tent, it just slowly keeps moving in until you have the camel in the tent with you, and then you don't have room. You know, like nobody, if somebody had said, I asked somebody the other day, a couple months ago, who is a social liberal. I asked him if he believed that we were being oppressed now. He said no. I said, what would your grandfather say? If your grandfather stepped in today, would your grandfather say that this is an oppressive government? And he said without even hesitation, he goes, yes. And, you know, and so when you think about that, you know, an oppressive government, you know, in the sense of taxation, without true representation, all the different things that are coming down on businessmen, homeowners, if you just drive business owners, if you have anything that has to do with the combustion engine, that, this is, it constantly is being piled on at this point. And at what point are people just, you know, are so numb, Mark, that they just go, you know what, I'm just gonna leave. And it seems to me there's a lot of people doing that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of people's answer. And my answer to that is this, and my wife and I could go, we're mobile. We don't, you know, we are ranchers and we do have a piece of property that we love. But quite frankly, we could move to another state. But if you won't fight here, where will you fight? And if you won't fight now, when will you fight? You can go to another state if you want to, but quite frankly, most of the Californians that bail out to other states simply drag a piece of that California mentality with them. What we need to do is change our mentality. And what we need to do is discover liberty, and then we need to spend the rest of our lives securing liberty for our children, because quite frankly, and grandchildren, because quite frankly, people here have not done that. And these kids will be leaving, and they won't recognize the world that they grow up in compared to the world that we grow up in. For example, one of our people makes the statement that his is the first generation in the history of California that's going to be handed a lower standard of living than his parents. And there's no place to go but down in California.
And I've read that before. I've read that the standard of living and things have changed, that you're going to have, they don't have the hope in the future that we did. And I'm not sure we had that hope in future that my parents did.
Well, I don't know whether we did or not. I've always had hope, and I've always felt like we have a future. And whether these children have a future is up to us. Because if we demand liberty, if we demand representation, and we are the people, in other words, we created government. the government is our creation. Has the creation become more important than its creators? I say the answer is no, and the state of Jefferson will prove that. The answer to that is no. The people are more important than the government they created, and we intend to see that come to fruition.
Okay. I think that's a good way to end this session. Our guest is Mark Baird, who's a spokesman for the state of Jefferson, which is a constitutional republic in a state that can make their own decisions and not have to live off the feds and live off of handouts and being afraid of government. They are the government, and the people are the government. And anyway, Mark, thanks so much for being with us. Okay, now how do people get a hold of you, and what websites they should be looking at, and where's the next place you're going to be?
The website is jeffersondeclaration.net, and it has everything on there, including our support. And by the way, we're forming a committee of 10,000 patriots to start calling the Capitol 3 times a day in mid-January. You can sign up for that under the support button. And our next deal is we're having a leadership conference down in Live Oak. That's for all of the county committee members. And then I have presentation to the Lake County Board of Supervisors on the 2nd of December, and that's our next event.
Okay. All right. Thanks for spending the time with us today, Mark.
Thank you, Carl. Appreciate you having me.
You
bye.
Bet. Okay. Hey, tomorrow we're going to have the sheriff on, and the sheriff is one of the strongest law enforcement officials, believe it or not, in the state. There's only one other person besides the governor who can call up a militia or a guard or his posse, and that's the sheriff.
So and the office of sheriff, yeah.
The office of sheriff. Plus, he can keep feds out. I mean, the feds have to, unless it's on federal land, he can insist that they come through his office. Anyway, we're going to talk to Sheriff Pasenko about what's going on with our crime. What about heading with the what's happened since the July town hall meeting?
Are we up to our armpits and bad guys?
And what about the new new Proposition 47, which is going to turn loose even more? This is going to be – it's just so interesting what's happening. All of this tomorrow, along with Mount Shasta Mall and a couple other things on Wednesday. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460, thanks for being with us today. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys.
Well, I won't
which are you?
Back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I'll.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama is condemning today's deadly synagogue attack in Jerusalem. Two Palestinians armed with meat cleavers and a gun stormed the house of worship, killing 4 people before being fatally shot by police. Mr. Obama insists that this will not deter the U.S. from seeking to broker a peace deal.
We have to remind ourselves that the majority of Palestinians and Israelis overwhelmingly want peace and to be able to raise their families knowing they're safe and secure.
3 Americans and a Briton died in today's attack. The pilot of a small twin-engine cargo plane reported engine trouble before the aircraft crashed into a house in Chicago overnight. Assistant Fire Commissioner Michael Fox says there were 2 people in that home.
We managed to rescue both of those people. Unfortunately, there was 1 pilot on board, but the pilot did die in this crash.
The plane took off from nearby Midway Airport.